there's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
And the Texas Tech Red Raiders, for the second time in 3 years, are headed to the College World Series.
Well, Welker takes it at the 11.
New routines pave the way.
The 35-40. He's in midfield, the 45-40. He may go. 25-10. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Talkin' Tech Podcast, powered by Guns Up Nation, part of the Guns Up Nation Podcast Network. I am your host, Steven Rodriguez, my co-host, Tristan McGonigal. Tristan, we just got a new addition to the basketballs. Well, not new addition, but he's actually coming on the team now, my guy.
Is he better than me? Better than me at basketball hoops?
I'd probably say so, considering you're not very good.
If I'm not very good, what the heck does that make Michael Jordan?
Very good. You're not very good. I'm sorry. I hate to be the guy to break it to you, but
all the best players have haters.
Yeah, it's true. Fardos Amak is much better than you at basketball, and he is officially going to play with Texas Tech this coming season. He has taken his name out of the NBA draft and is going to be a Red Raider next year. He said so on Twitter. This is great news.
I look at you just saying his name very fluently. You're very, very fluent in the ways of Fardos Amak. How did I do?
That's it. All right. You got it.
Let's go. That's a dub. Let's go. But yeah, man, super exciting news, dude. I remember, quote unquote, committed to Tech a while back. You know, I kind of felt like, all right, he's coming. He's going to be a Red Raider next year. It didn't really cross my mind that he was going to the NBA at that point. Maybe it was just because I was like, had my head in the clouds about it. But no, I was like, that is a Red Raider right there. He's in Lubbock, and he's not going to go to the NBA. He's going to stay at the top level of the sport, not go to the bum NBA.
Yeah, the top level of college basketball. No, I mean, that happens now with a lot of people. Now that you can take your name out of the NBA draft, it's weird, though, that a player would commit to a school, especially a different school, like transfer, announce that transfer, but still say, okay, but I'm going to keep my name in the draft. Like, are you? Because it feels like you're committed to transfer to another school. I don't like Kevin McCullough did the same thing. We'll get to him in a second. But, like, why would you announce that you are committing to Kansas and then keep your name in the NBA draft? Like, why would you do that? That doesn't make
any question.
Sense.
Yeah, great question, man. I don't know. I don't understand it either, because I, like you said, whenever a player is committing to a college team while they're in the NBA draft, just kind of feels like they're not going into the NBA then. Because you know, obviously if you felt good about your chances of going into the NBA, this one may have been a discussion anyway, right? So maybe it's a case of you know, they want to make sure that they have a spot where they feel confident about getting them to the next NBA level at this new place. So they want to make sure that they leave their team that they're leaving in a good spot with scholarships, while also, you know, obviously don't burn bridges. Those are still your boys. And while also securing your spot on a team that you feel like would really fit, because that team also has a limited amount of spaces. And those teams don't want to just sit there and sit on their hands and wait for you to make your decision. You know, they have the whole team to figure things out. They're not waiting on one guy in the transfer portal, you know? So I feel like it might be a mix of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine to go get feedback. I understand that move. And, you know, even if guys really know they're probably not going to get drafted, they can still go talk to these NBA scouts, talk to these people and realize what they have to do to potentially get drafted. So that's why all these guys do it. That part of it, I understand. The part of just like committing before you take your name out of the draft to a different school seems weird to me. But anyway, that usually means that they're coming back to college. And that is the case with Fardos Amak. And now officially we can be happy with this stacked front court over here at Texas Tech next season, with Fardos, with Kevin O'Banner, with Daniel Bacho, and with potentially KJ Allen, maybe another pickup. But I mean, this—I don't know how teams are going to rebound over us. I feel like we're going to win the rebounding battle every single game with these two.
Yeah, it looks like we got a lot of size again. You know, that was something that our team had last year as well. You know, at least a lot of length. You know, good amount of size. Just, and this looks like it's even more of a nightmare to defend against. You know, going up against big dudes is tough in the sport. So, like you said, man, I don't know who the heck is beating us out in this board battle. Do you think these are the kinds of guys that Mark Adams is going to thrive with in that no middle defense form with this amount of sheer tree size?
Yeah, I mean, defensively, it's going to be nice because both of these guys, I think, can move their feet as well. And that was the whole thing about it. Like last season, we had bigs, but they could also move. You know, Bryson Williams, Marcus Santos Silva, O'Banner, all these guys, when we ended up switching on defense, could stay in front of smaller guards. And that's a good thing. I mean, AMAC's a little bigger than those guys, but I think he can still move his feet just fine and stay in front of, I don't know, like in, for last season, and stay in front of a James Akinjo or stay in front of a Adam Flagler or Marcus Carr or something like of that nature. So I don't think we're, you know, transitioning worse in that department, if that makes sense. Like, I think Fardos is going to be just as good of a defender, if not better. I mean, he was a two-time WAC conference of the, defensive player of the year over there at Utah Valley State. So, you get him and O'Banner. We saw he picked it up really nicely defensively last season. I thought he started off a little rough, but he really picked it up. So with these two guys coming in, I think offensively is where we're really going to see something happen with these two, because both of them can shoot. We've seen that. I mean, we've seen from Kevin O'Banner. Yeah, he had kind of a down year last year, but we've seen him in a more fluid offensive system. And I think we're going to have that with our guards. Kind of an upgrade, a more true point guard kind of ball handler type role this year versus last season. And then AMAC, of course, can step outside and shoot. He can be in the post. He can shoot the mid range. I mean, he can do everything. So this is obviously, we've said it when he committed before that this would be a massive pickup, but now it's confirmed to be a massive pickup for Texas Tech.
Yeah, like I brought up the offense. So do you think whoever a Coach Adams staff is looking at recruiting a kid, do you think they look at an athletic guy and say, we can teach him the defense, we can coach him the defense? Does he have the offensive ability to, you know, pick up the slack there? Do you think that's kind of where their mind is at? Or do you think they're also saying, no, we can teach him how to be a great shooter and scorer as well? Or do you think they kind of want that to kind of come along with them whenever they're doing transfers?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of the Mark Adams style of recruiting. I think even Luke Adams has said that before. This is what Mark Adams likes to do. He likes to have guys that are already skilled offensively and have the intangibles. He can teach anybody in the world defense. He's that good of a defensive coach. He believes himself that much to teach any guy in the world how to take a charge, how to move on defense, how to do anything like that. So if he can get already offensively skilled players to work on that side, you know, you got a pretty good combination right there. But it's funny that you bring up the staff, because we did bring on, we have completed, or I shouldn't say we, Mark Adams has completed his staff for next season. After
he called us,
he asked for a consultation with us. And, you know, we said, Steve Green, that's your guy, you know, go from South Plains College, West Texas, you know, offensive minded coach, come on in. But no, seriously, I mean, after Talvin Hester and Barrett Peary departed from this year's staff, Talvin Hester, of course, going to be the head coach at Louisiana Tech, and Barrett Peary leaving for UNLV. He's completed that. He brought in Al Pinkins, the assistant. I believe he was at Florida before this, but he was at Texas Tech previously. He's coming back to Lubbock, and now he brings in Steve Green, who is a coaching legend at South Plains College.
So you think this is a hire that's definitely going to try to inject more of that offensive firepower into it? Do you think he's bringing him on for any recruiting reasons as well, like understanding the zone? Because, I mean, Mark Adams is obviously a West Texas guy. So do you think he really brings in a whole lot of recruiting edge, or do you think it's just mostly for the X's and O's of the sport more so?
I think the Green hiring is more for the X's and O's. I think the Pinkins hiring is more for the recruiting edge. Now, I'm not, you know, Steve Green has his own connections. He's been in coaching for a long time. I believe he's 68 years old. So he's been at it a while. And so what he's known for, though, at South Plains College is the Golden State offense that he runs. You know, they're always one of the top dogs in scoring over there. You know, they've won multiple championships. He's won 3-time Coach of the Year for National Junior College Association. I mean, he's been around the block. And apparently, Mark Adams wanted to hire him for the initial staff, but For some reason, Green wanted to stay at Southlands. I mean, it's probably hard to leave a job you've had for 20 plus seasons. So he finally gets him to Texas Tech. I think this is just a great hire for him. And him and Mark Adams know each other well. I think more so than Peary and Adams do. And I think this is a fantastic hire all around.
Yeah, the great point at the end, man. I think this just adds chemistry to the coaching staff, which is obviously what you need, especially the top brass. So, dude, I'm on board with it. I don't think Mark Adams is ever going to have given us a reason yet to be cautious about a hire. And, I mean, our head coach is an ex-awesome junior college coach of the year. So I don't think we should be worried about the translation between junior college to the top level, because if we freaking love our dude and think he's one of the best coaches in the country, I don't think we should be too scared of this. So I think this is just kind of like another Mark Adams in the sense that it's the same sort of path, you know? So I think this is great. I think it's something that we can look forward to seeing a different take on the offense. I know we kind of had some complaints about it this past season, maybe not quite as much as before the season before, but that it's definitely still there. We definitely had our grumbles about it.
Yeah. And I think that was more of a personnel thing than anything. I mean, obviously you saw with Barrett Peary, he was brought in as the offensive guy. And I think him and Adams kind of mutually agreed that it wasn't working out between the two of them. And maybe Peary wanted a little more say-so in the offense, and Mark Adams kind of stepped in and, you know, they just didn't vibe really well. And so that's why Peary was gone after a season. But now bringing in Green, I think it'll be much better. And a lot of people were asking when Green was initially hired, is he going to be this kind of offensive coordinator type for Texas Tech basketball? You know, because Mark Adams obviously takes control of the defense. He's a defensive-minded head coach. And is Steve Green going to be in charge of the offense? And now when we're bringing it back here to when Chris Beard and Mark Adams were both here, Mark Adams was a defensive coordinator type coach for the Chris Beard Texas Tech teams. I mean, he controlled the defense. I don't think under Mark Adams, we're going to have a coordinator, you know, quote unquote. I think he has charge of what goes on. And now Green is obviously very, you know, he's been at it a long time. He's a very good offensive head coach. He's very smart on that end of the floor. But I think Mark Adams has some say in how he wants to see this offense flow. And he's not just going to be like, okay, here you go, Green. It's your, you know, when we're on offense, it's all you. He's not going to do that. He's not that type of head coach. Now, I think Chris Beard was that type of head coach. Chris Beard was like, hey, you take control of the defense. I'll focus on, you know, personnel, you know, being the leader of the team per se and all that kind of stuff. I think Mark Adams does a little bit more. And that's why I don't really, you know, agree with the sentiment of he's running the offense. You know, I think it's a team effort here. And I think all these coaches kind of go at it together instead of one guy doing one thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think you nailed it. I think Mark Adams is a much more involved coach than Chris Beard. Because he's very focused in on the team. I mean, he's still very much a part of the community, but you don't see Mark Adams out there selling the team or anything like that in the sense that Chris Beard was. Chris Beard was much more of a marketer, more so than a basketball coach. So obviously we prefer that because Mark Adams doesn't have to sell a thing anymore. You know, it's sold. So I think I'm totally with you. And whenever you listen to like interviews with other former players about the dynamics of the old regime, was that Mark Adams was like always trying to be involved with everything. Like he was always trying to coach no matter what side of the ball it was. So I'm with you, man. I think that he's too involved with the coach, too much of a basketball coach. It's just this sport is just too back and forth to be focused on one side the entire time as a head coach. So I'm with you, but hopefully it does bring in obviously new fresh ideas. That's the point. Kind of opens the book a bit. That's why you get multiple coaches to, you know, have a say in these things. But I'm with you. Obviously, I think the executive power is still towards the big guy.
Yeah, for sure. So excited about Steve Green coming in, excited about Al Pinkins, excited about this basketball team. Coming up with Fardos now, officially going to be a Red Raider. So going to see some big Maple action for Texas Tech next year. That'll be nice.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, we should also mention we're recording right now. It is Wednesday. Apparently, at the beginning of the day, we were hearing some news about Elijah Fisher, the five-star class of 2023 commit. He's got some crystal balls coming towards Texas Tech. I mean, he's, you know, I'm not going to say it. This may sound stupid because this podcast is going to come out before he commits tomorrow, but I'm really thinking it's going to happen for Texas Tech. We're going to get Elijah Fisher. I think he's going to be a Red Raider. I think he's going to reclassify to the class of 2022, according to some of the things that we've heard from people. And I think he's going to be on the team next season. And, you know, I guess we'll go into more detail on him when he actually does commit. But if we do end up getting him, it would be such a massive pickup for Mark Adams. I mean, the best recruit in potentially in Texas Tech history. I mean, we got guys like Damari Burnett, who was a five-star McDonald's All-American. This guy is right there with it. I mean, he's out of Canada. I think he's the number 20 player in the class of 2023. And if you've watched any highlights on him, this dude's unbelievable. Like, he's 6'6". He can jump out of the building. He can do a little bit of everything. Defensive-minded player as well. So that fits the Mark Adams system. And I think, you know, if he comes to Texas Tech and decides to reclassify for next season, he's a starter. He's an automatic starter. You can't not. And even as a true freshman. So keep your eye out for Elijah Fisher. By the time this podcast gets released, he should be committing probably a little later in the day. But yeah, I just wanted to mention him.
Do not be podcast jinxing us. I will be so mad if this episode is saying we got him, ladies and gentlemen, and then he can't go somewhere else. So do not do this to us. But how funny would it be? You know, obviously, if we do get him, we have two Canadians on the team. Like, what is with us and getting our pairs of foreigners? You know, we got the French connection, and now we're going to build the Keystone Pipeline for Canada. So it's just like, yeah, are these jokes hidden or no?
No, they're hidden.
They're hidden. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. Cool. I have to have a really high IQ to understand those.
Yes. Yeah. We're very high IQ people over here.
We're very high brain functioning people. So these come naturally to us. Yeah. But man, just spectacular. I mean, especially if Mark Adams goes out and gets the best recruit Texas Tech has ever had. I mean, Mr. Burnett was a fun idea, but it didn't exactly.
No, it didn't work out.
Didn't exactly work out. So hopefully we got our superstar who does work out, man. That'd be spectacular. Great look for Mark Adams and the future of the program. You know, that, because remember what we keep saying, what was the biggest scary when we hired Mark Adams, like, can he recruit this old guy, this old white guy from West Texas? Can he recruit? And it looks like he can, baby. So it's great news.
Yeah, it's kind of funny seeing the differences in recruiting from Joey McGuire and Mark Adams. You know, Joey McGuire is like, we're going to lock down Texas. We need West Texas boys. We need to get everybody from the state of Texas that we can. And Mark Adams is just like, yeah, I don't really care. You know, get them from anywhere. Canada, France, Chicago. I really don't care. As long as they come here and they enjoy their time and I can coach them up and they know how to play defense, I want them. So, I mean, that's kind of just the differences in basketball and football recruiting, I guess. It's more kind of location based in football, I think, than basketball. These guys come from all over the country to come to Texas Tech. So that's a really cool deal that you can get a guy who is originally from Canada, goes to Utah Valley State, and then ends up in Lubbock, Texas, or like Davion Warren coming from Hampton in New York. Adonis Arms has been around the block. You know, Bryson Williams, obviously from Texas, but you know, this it's awesome. It's awesome. I love what Mark Adams is doing. And he absolutely can recruit.
Yeah, okay. Can we please shut the heck up about you can't recruit to Lubbock if we're getting people from Italy, France, Canada, and New York? And like, come on. How about enough of that? It's too far from Dallas. Yeah, well, it's pretty damn far from Paris, too. So, I mean not planes, that much further, but come
planes
on.
Planes are a thing, people. Yeah. Planes are we're not all on horseback anymore. We can make it to Lubbock, Texas.
The good thing Lubbock built that one building, that new brand new idea in a city of an airport. So good thing we have one of those.
Yeah.
That's like 5 minutes from campus.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, that narrative has always been false. It's just we haven't had the right people. So I think we have a bunch of the right people right now with Joey McGuire, Tim Tadlock, and Mark Adams. So I guess since we're on the basketball topic, let's just talk about that before we start getting into baseball and talk about the brand and stuff like that. So let's talk Kevin McCullough for a second. Just, I mean, we don't have to hit it very long, but obviously, you know, he comes out his third announcement on social media. He finally decides that if he is going to return to college, he's going to Kansas. He's going to be a Jayhawk next season. Tristan, what are your thoughts on K-Mac and how he approached this whole situation?
I'm just really disappointed. I don't even think I'm that mad. I think I'm just disappointed because I think he sold us on a character that apparently isn't really there. I'm not just sitting here, you know, ragging on a young man who wants to do what's best for him. But, you know, you can't just sit here and you know, preach to the people who adore you saying that I'm a Red Raider for life. I would never go anywhere. I wouldn't follow that guy to Austin. I want to move anywhere else. This is where I want to be for that coach. And it's just to see him bail on us and go to an interconference rival, the best basketball team in the conference. It just hurts, you know, and it makes us look like we're not enough, that Texas Tech is a stepping stone, that it's not a Kansas. And I know it's not a Kansas, but you leaving for Kansas makes us less than a Kansas, you know, like it kind of subtracts our value in that sense with that kind of move. But obviously that's how I would initially feel. But the good news is everything's kind of starting to make sense. You know, we're getting these phenomenal players coming in that at least neutralize the loss performance wise. And maybe even we're maybe even getting better without them. So it's just seeing us land these incredible players, even though our quote unquote leader and like culture guy is bailing on us, I think says a lot about the fortitude of what we've built in Lubbock, Texas. And that it doesn't just sit on one kid, that it's the community and the school and the program that Mark Adams is putting together for us. So that's how I feel about it, man. It's just, I would just say disappointed that, you know, I feel a little duped. I kind of feel a little silly because, you know, anytime Annie, my fiance, would ask me who my favorite player is, it's like, I got to give it to K-Mac because he's the Red Raider on the team through and through. And because, you know, he's the transition guy, but kind of sucks that I said that. And this is what's happened. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, my statement on Kevin McCullough was a Red Raider. And now Kevin McCullough is a Jayhawk. Mm-hmm. That's my statement. That's it. I'm not really, you know, obviously the destination is not great. I hate that we have to play against the guy because he is a good defensive player. He's and in the right system, in the right role, he can be, you know, really effective on the offensive end. The disappointing part is that his dad's an alumni, you know, he's, he played here for 4 years, you know, was kind of, like you said, the culture guy at Texas Tech. Now I think we're going to be fine. You know, I think Texas Tech has done a great job of bouncing back every single year. But you're just kind of disappointed in the destination, I think, more than anything. Like why Kansas? Why
right.
Do you, 'cause now you're not just, you know, not choosing to be a Red Raider, but you're choosing to be a direct interconference rival, which to me is it'll piss off the fan base. And now, you know, you do you, man. You do what you think is best. Obviously, playing for Bill Self can't hurt, but I don't know what he's expecting over there. I don't know if he's expecting to play point guard over there. I don't know, because right now, just from the social media, you know, browsing I've seen from Kansas fans, these guys are thinking he's going to be a three, you know, a four, a three. He's going to be kind of a complimentary piece. He's not going to be, you know, the guy at Kansas. And if he were to stay at Texas Tech, he would have been the guy, or he would have been at least beloved like he was the guy, you know? Mm-hmm. So we obviously don't know all the inner workings of these kind of decisions, and the kid's allowed to make the decision that he wants to make. But you know, the destination is the most disappointing part for me.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the blowback is righteous. It's justified. Yeah, so
it's fine.
And whenever we come to Lubbock and you get booed out the building, it's what you get, man. I mean, it's you're either a hero or a zero in this situation that you personally chose. You know, this isn't a "what was me" situation. This is self-inflicted willingly. You willingly became an opponent. That's how I feel about it. So if he's feeling all whiny about it, like, bro, you did this yourself. So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah. So, well, that'll do it. Kevin McCullough's time as a Red Raider is over, and we're going to be just fine.
Weird sentence to say, but yes.
Yeah, definitely would not. And well, the same thing would have happened if you talked to me about Chris Beard in 2019. So we keep moving on from this stuff and we end up just fine out of it. So I believe in Texas Tech and Mark Adams. But one last basketball thing. We have the basketball tournament coming up. I don't know if y'all have been seeing this, but this TBT, which stands for the basketball tournament, coming up. It's a it happens every year. I don't know if they've kind of if they haven't done it the last few years because of COVID, but they're definitely doing it this year. Takes place this summer, and Texas Tech has a team. They have, so if y'all aren't familiar with the basketball tournament, it's a bunch of teams that get together. They play a massive tournament, and usually they're made up of alumni of universities. Sometimes they'll just be random collections of players. Sometimes they'll be like a Euro team, or like, I know they always have like Division III alumni. So they just gather a bunch of players that play Division III basketball and they'll all form a team. But Texas Tech is having a team called the Air Raiders. And right now, we have three players officially joining the team for this tournament. And those three are Norris Odiasse, Matt Mooney, and now announced today, Zaire Smith coming in and joining the Air Raiders. Dude, this is so cool.
This is so fun, man. Is this the first year Tech's been able to pull it off?
No, I think Tech's had a team in the past. I think they went by the Matadors. And they had guys like Jay Crockett play, but they didn't have like a Zaire Smith level, like former NBA first round pick, like, you know, Norris Odiasse, who was the team leader on a Final Four team. Like, I don't know if they've had those type of guys, but this is, I mean, Matt Mooney was playing in the NBA like last season or two seasons ago. Like these guys are still young and like are really good at basketball.
Yeah, they're Tech legends, man. This is so dang fun. Will it be broadcasted?
Oh, yeah. They always show it. I don't know if it's ESPN or Fox or something. They always broadcast these games.
Heck yeah, man. Oh, I'm hyped as hell for this. This is sick.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a guest on to kind of talk about the team next week. We're still working on the details with that, but potentially keep an eye out for that. But yeah, I wanted to mention
the podcast jinxing. You're all over it right now.
These aren't podcast jinx. These are hopeful commitments that I believe are happening according to sources.
Sounds a lot like a jinx, sir.
Oh, okay, whatever. If I'm wrong, then you can blame me. But but we're still working it out with that. So, but let's move on from basketball. Let's talk baseball, because right now, Texas Tech and Kansas State are playing in the first game of the Big 12 tournament. Texas Tech, it's currently the top of the seventh. They're up 5-0 on Kansas State. So, you know, what am I going to jinx this now too? Saying
yes,
you know, Texas Tech in a good spot right now. Not saying we're going to win, but by the time y'all listen to this, y'all will know the result. But yeah, Texas Tech playing well, up 5-0. I think we play the winner of Oklahoma and West Virginia tomorrow. So yeah, I mean, this Big 12 championship conference, well, conference tournament at the end of the year.
Yeah, don't go all Cyclone on me. I can't believe you're sitting here. You're sitting here going, we're in a great spot, 5-0. When we were in a great spot against OU this past weekend as well, sir, and we blew.
We weren't up 5-0. We weren't up 5-0 against OU.
I think we're up like 4-1, then ended up losing.
Yeah,
on Thursday or Friday. It was Thursday, I believe. So what the heck, man? Don't do this to us.
Look, we're up 5-0 in the top of the seventh right now. I'm just stating a fact. That is what we are doing right now. Mason Molina is pitching. Apparently, he's doing very well. He's still on the mound in the top of the seventh. So, I mean, they haven't scored yet. So, from Mason Molina's up and down first year here at Texas Tech, he's doing pretty well right now.
You know, it's those all 12 TCU fans are very thankful for the Sooners this past week. And I tell you what.
Yeah.
That's true. Anything else about baseball?
No, I mean, we should mention, yeah, we didn't end up winning the Big 12 because we blew the series to Oklahoma at home in Lubbock. We did end up, you know, scampering the last game there. So we did tie for second, I believe, with Oklahoma for the Big 12. So we are the 2 seed in this Big 12 tournament right now. But, you know, winning that series would have been great because obviously you would have been Big 12 champs. But hosting is the ultimate goal here. This is like doing well in the NCAA tournament and winning the regional, winning the super, winning, going to the College World Series. That's the ultimate goal here. We love conference championships. Banners fly forever. But, you know, if we can win a couple games here in the Big 12 tournament, I think we still have a pretty good opportunity at a hosting spot.
Absolutely. Yeah, we still have a goal. We still have a mission. And I think we still have eyes set on Omaha, man. And we're still a top 10 team. So we definitely have, it's still, the destiny's still in our hands. You know, we just got to get through this tough tournament and see where we land. Because we still got plenty of baseball to play. And hopefully hopefully we still have plenty of baseball to play. So, and I mean, not just that though, we also got some, even though we didn't get that darn trophy, but a couple of our players took home some honors as well.
That is true. The Big 12 awards came out. Brandon Birdsell, your pitcher of the year in the Big 12.
Incredible.
That's a massive honor. I mean, that dude was fantastic all season until the OU game. But other than the one OU game, he really was automatic all year. He had the opportunity to go to the MLB draft. I think he was drafted in the 11th round last year. He decided, I'm coming back to Texas Tech. I'm going to finish what I started here. And he has been a fantastic pitcher for us, and he's getting awarded for it. So this is, I mean, congrats to him.
Absolutely, man. And he wasn't the only one either. One of our players got Freshman of the Year as well.
That would be Hudson White winning Freshman
of the Year. Thank you. Yes, yeah. I was this close to pulling it up on Twitter. So
it was up there. I mean, Owen Washburn, I think he was on the all-freshman team as well. And I think Mason Molina was too. But yeah, I mean, Hudson White was fantastic all season long. Hit some really timely great plays. He was awesome. Our future is very bright with these guys at the helm. And Hudson White's proven it there with your Freshman of the Year.
Absolutely, man. I mean, all in all, great season. And now that, you know, we're here, we are in the postseason. Couldn't ask for much more than that. Just one game away from a conference title is nothing to be upset about. Especially whenever you're beating teams that were expected to do way better than you. I mean, we beat out UT and OSU, who were preseason favorites. And so it's just, this is obviously a great season all in all. And we're not done yet. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Well, and you just think about like all the complaining that Texas Tech fans did all season long. Bullpen doesn't have anybody, you know, we're not hitting well, we're all sorts of stuff. Oh, fire the pitching coach. We heard all that from Texas Tech fans a lot of the year, and we ended up second in the Big 12 with a good chance at hosting a regional. Like, this is what Texas Tech baseball is now, man. I mean, we're disappointed when we aren't like a national seed now, winning the Big 12.
Yeah.
Like, this is still a fantastic season. And I think with this group of guys, they have the potential to make a run in the postseason. So keep an eye out for everybody, you know, cheer them on. Oh, looks like Kansas State just scored a run. 5-1.
What did
now.
You?
5-1 now, I believe. We need a pitching change here for a second. So if this, I just stated a fact. We were up 5-0. I said nothing of the sort. That I said nothing other than facts. So no jinx here, my friend.
Well, what an absurd standard that whenever your fans hold you to that standard, what it just speaks volumes to what Texas Tech is. You know, if you to expect what only the best teams in the country get every single year. And you expect that every single year now, man. You really couldn't ask for more. I mean, it's kind of an absurd expectation, but it just speaks how much we do it to expect it every year. Just incredible stuff, man. We're just so good at baseball.
We're so lucky to have Tim Tadlock and a great team.
Never leave us.
For year in and year out, wreck 'em on baseball. So let's see. What we got next? The brand. Episode 1,
yes.
Dropping. We haven't talked about this yet, even after it was announced that we were going to have our own, Texas Tech football, that is, going to have their own. No,
it's Tech, plus Talking Tech, make an appearance.
We're always involved in these decisions, guys.
We're just off camera the whole time, but we're there.
No, Texas Tech football has a television show on ESPN Plus called The Brand. I'm sure most of y'all have watched it. The first episode dropped on Tuesday. They're coming out every Tuesday. I believe there's going to be four total episodes, but really cool, man. We haven't seen anything like this at Texas Tech.
No, man, it's really cool. I mean, episode one, I know I was hearing you saying that, you know, I wish we saw a little more, but episode one really kind of turned out to be a setup episode so you could meet all the coaches. It was kind of like a meet and greet with the future of the program. And I thought that was really cool. I thought it was really cool getting to know who these guys are that are leading your program. I just, the level of transparency and community that Joey McGuire has built with this football team is something I've never seen before on the Lubbock campus. It's just, it's so great to see a guy that wants the fans seeing what's going on at all times, because that just gets the fans so much more involved and it makes you feel like you have so much more stake in the program. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, no, I wasn't disappointed in the episode. Don't get me wrong. Like, I really enjoy the B-roll. You have some really cool stuff. Like, you can find little things in the details that kind of get you hyped up. Like, I was looking at the most vocal players, like who's going to step up and be kind of your leader. It looks like Rabbit's got a huge role in this team. It looks like Miles Price is really going to be vocal and be one of the leaders of the offense. Sirajic was leading some drills. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking for in this series. Like, who, like, what are they not necessarily showing us, but it shows on TV. So it was cool. You know, all the coaches kind of telling you what the brand is. It kind of shows how together everybody is on this goal. You know, everybody has the same idea of what the brand is. You know, everybody, yeah. I think every coach said basically the same thing for that like 10-minute segment. But yeah, and if you're not familiar with, like, you know, the coaching hires and all that this offseason, if you weren't keeping up with it, you got to meet everybody. You got to see who's the defensive line coach, who's the outside linebackers coach, who the tight end, you know, and all that good stuff. So, Joey's speeches are just fantastic. Who wouldn't want to play for that guy?
Absolutely, man. He speaks like a guy that's been there before. You know, he's just so much experience pouring out onto these young men. I'm glad we got to hear from DeRuiter for once. You know, that this guy has just kind of been there, and I haven't heard a single thing from this guy, and we're finally hearing from him, which is cool. Because, I mean, obviously, as Tech fans, yeah, the offense is awesome, but what's going on defense? Please tell us what's going on defense. So it's great to finally see some more of that. And whose idea do you think this was? Do you think this was like a Joey plan?
It was Joey's idea.
We should turn this into a show.
Oh, yeah. Joey went about this, and that's what Joey's been about since he got here. Market the brand. He's been active on social media. He has been, you know, developing this television show. He's been recruiting like crazy. Like, he wants to let people know who Texas Tech is. And that's what he's doing with this show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. And it's obviously another great recruiting tool. You know, the recruit doesn't have to be in Lubbock to see what's going on or how things run at Lubbock, Texas. And hey, you come to Texas Tech, maybe you could be on a freaking TV show on ESPN. That's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, DeRuiter, like to your other point, DeRuiter he's older. He's been around the block. You know, he's not super active on social media. He's probably not very good at it. So yeah, it is cool to kind of seeing him in front of the camera talking about this. And we should have a really experienced defense, you know, coming in with a really good secondary. You got some experienced guys on the defensive line. So, you know, I also think Joey has a big part in this defense as well. We saw him coaching the linebackers in one of the drills in the first episode. And he did that at Baylor. He's always coaching defense, whatever position coach that he was supposed to be, even though he was primarily a recruiter at Baylor. But, you know, he would coach whatever position on defense. But yeah, this is just really cool. There was also a great article written today by Sam Kahn of The Athletic, kind of highlighting Joey's whole time here. I mean, he really broke down from the day he was hired to what he has done recruiting wise and how, you know, Texas Tech is fared for a pretty good future with him on the recruiting trail. So if you haven't, go check that out. It's by Sam Kahn of The Athletic.
Yeah, Joe McGuire. Sam makes Joey McGuire sound like the boss you'd love to have, because he seems such a hands off guy in the sense that he lets his guys have the responsibility. It's really not a micromanaged program, it sounds like, at all. It sounds like he trusts the people that he hired to do their jobs, because, like, they don't have to go to him to offer scholarships to kids. He says, You have that power to go for it and do that. So that's, I think that's why you're seeing us act so rapidly in their in recruiting, is because the just the sheer amount of speed and efficiency that are the freedom of letting your staff make these calls does. And you're really seeing it right now. And it's really, you can definitely tell that Sam was impressed whenever he was writing it. And I think that's just great signs. An experienced guy be impressed with what's going on at Texas Tech. It's just so dang cool, man. And just seeing the obvious improvements that we're already seeing within the program from the past couple of administrations, it's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah. He also highlighted stuff that we've talked about before, like the fact that Joey gets on kids early. Like he's the first either Power Five or, you know, first like bigger school to offer a kid. And he's not afraid if they're not rated yet or anything like that. Like, you know, they brought up Calvin Simpson Hunt and how he is a Texas Tech commit. And now he has offers from Alabama, Texas, Michigan, all that, you know, and he committed to Texas Tech because Joey McGuire was one of the first ones to reach out. And so one of the other parts of this article that I thought was interesting was kind of the guys they look at. You know, they look at a specific,
I'll say the same thing.
Yeah, they look at a specific style of player, and really it's just based on athleticism. It's based on intangibles. It's based on not necessarily football skill, but just, you know, because he much like Mark Adams actually believes he can coach up a player to do something at Texas Tech. And so that was really cool about it.
I don't think you and I have been more in sync on an idea, because I was about to give that whole spiel that you just did. That they have, they know what they're looking for. They can coach them the football part. They need the other part to come in with them, not necessarily given to them. So I think that's what Tech's been missing, man. You know, I think we've been trying to do things too traditional by focusing on what highly rated players in that position and not getting them as often as we'd like, rather than finding guys who could be that piece. You know, it's kind of like it's kind of cliche to say that a Texas Tech program needs to go out and find these diamonds in the rough and build them into something special. But I think you really are seeing that's what's happening in an actual sense, rather than just a wing in it sense. I don't think we're just taking flyers. I think we are identifying what we need, and we'll turn them into what they could be. You know, turn them into great players rather than just trying to get what we can, which is kind of how it's felt lately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's been doing a great job so far. 20 commits for the class of 2023. You know, there was also kind of a part in the article where it's like, I mean, you know, don't assume that all 20 of these guys are going to stay, because, you know, that's a lot of commits. And if you're getting on a guy early, you know, he's bound to get a few more offers and, you know, check out other schools. So, you know, obviously he's done a great job. I'm super hyped with what Joey's done. And by the way, it is now 5-3 Texas Tech against
you
Kansas State.
Son of a...
It's the middle of the seventh now. We got out of that awful inning. Molina was pulled for Devine, and Devine got us out of that inning. So two more innings. Tech is up 5-3 right now.
Yeah. Well, while we're still on the Joey McGuire love train, I thought it was pretty cool that hearing from the high school coaches and seeing what they had to say about it as well. Obviously they have that connection with Joey because he's one of them, but just to hear they talked about him like so much like that. He was so much different, you know, and like, he really respected what they had to say rather than just, I'm here to see these groups of kids. No, but, you know, he really would listen to them whenever he told them that you should take a look at this kid. And I love that. And I loved his plan to really build a wall around West Texas. It was so cool that he assigned his staff members to certain zones. They can only look at those zones, you know, and that you have to go get the best kids in those zones kind of thing. So I love it. I think it just keeps coming back to whenever we hired him and he brought in that big old binder with Kirby or whatever it was. And just, he has a plan. The guy has a plan and a vision. And it's just, it's so crazy how well he's implementing said plan. It's like he was made to come to Texas Tech with this plan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. he couldn't have had a better start at Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Now he just needs to coach up some games and we'll really see how Joey is as a coach. But everything he's done so far, fantastic. But let's kind of move on. We have, I think, just one more thing and then we'll get to Song of the Week. Ludwig, our boy, Swedish Fish.
The Swedish Fish.
The Swedish Fish himself, Ludwig Åberg, winning the Ben Hogan Award, which is the top male golfer award. And he's been fantastic all season long. He was great last year. He's going to be, I mean, he's a future star in golf.
Yeah, he is.
Really
yeah.
is. And to see, you know, a Texas Tech guy, we have a lot of good golf teams in the Big 12. You know, I think Oklahoma State has a really elite program. Texas obviously has some great players that have come out of there, but Ludwig he's a future star, man. I mean, we're going to see him playing in some really, really big golf tournaments someday.
No, absolutely, man. And it's so great for him to be bringing in some hardware and to the campus while he's still a Red Raider. I mean, he'll always be a Red Raider, obviously, but it's just so cool, man. The Swedish Fish doing it, dude. And it's just so crazy how we recruited him. I mean, Sweden's really far from Lubbock, and it's really hard to recruit to Lubbock. You know, that joke lose all of its steam?
Well, you said it kind of seriously, and I was like, wait a minute, we just made the point that it wasn't hard to recruit to Lubbock. No, we get guys internationally. We do it for Dragon Field too. Wes Kittley gets people from freaking all over the world to come to Lubbock, Texas. And we do the same thing with golf. And it's not hard to recruit here.
No, not at all, man. Just great things from the greens as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, let's go. Song of the week to kind of end her off here. What you got, Tristan?
Yeah, man, I'm going old school on this one. I mean, I say old school. He's not that old, but he's one of the staples in the Texas red dirt country scene. I'm sure anyone that's aware of him. It's Jason Bolin and the Stragglers. If you're aware of the genre, you're aware of him most likely. And I just wanted to say that the guy still got it. You know, he's still putting out albums and he's still putting out jams. This song's really fun. It's called "The Light Saw Me" off his newest album. And it's funny because it's about this guy who goes fishing and gets abducted by aliens. So it's a really funny song. You know, you don't hear songs like that. They don't take themselves too seriously. And so it's a fun one. It's a jam. He really leans into the more rock, country rock side. So I'm going with "The Light Saw Me," Jason Bolin and the Stragglers.
My love, I saw.
Very nice. I've literally never heard one time of that guy. Never once.
I'm surprised, man. You should probably give him a listen. Definitely, like, Somewhere Down in Texas is an absolute classic in the red dirt scene. So give that a listen after you plug this one in.
Right on, man. Will do. My song of the week, you probably saw this coming because we saw each other this weekend. You know, we had a good old time in Fredericksburg.
Indeed.
Went with the ladies, went with the, you know, just a group of friends going and taking a wine trip down there in the Napa Valley of Texas. My song of the week, after a night of drinking and hanging out and listening to music, I threw on this one. It's Jamestown Ferry by Charlie Crockett. And we absolutely had a ball with it.
We wore that song out. We listened to that song like five times within an hour. Like that's how you know, like we had dug into the grape juice that we this song's so good. Play it again. You know, it's just a good great pick with throwing him in there.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Jamestown Ferry, Charlie Crockett.
Just caught the Jamestown Ferry. It's not a hot day, January, like she said it'd be if she ever left.
And just kind of the chest down there.
But yeah, man, I think that's, I'm basically going to do it. I did want to say one thing, to end off the podcast here. And that's, you know, you and me grew up in North San Antonio, and that's, about 100 miles east of Uvalde. And with everything that happened yesterday, the shooting that killed 19 kids and two adults over there at the elementary school, you know, we just wanted to send our deepest condolences to the families of the victims and the community of Uvalde, because this is just, it's a tragedy that we've seen far too often before. You know, there's just, it never gets easier to see these sort of things. And I hate that we see it so much as a nation. You know, we're hurting and we need to find some change somewhere. We don't like to get political on this podcast. We don't have the answers to this, but, you know, as people, you know, we really feel for everybody involved in this situation. And it's just a tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Prayers to those who are hurting the most. Just a tragedy, you know, the most innocent among us. So, but obviously we all know how to feel about it. We know how we feel about it. And it's just all we can do now is be there for the community.
Yeah, there are ways to help. I know a lot of people are saying donate blood. That's a big thing right now. So if you are looking for ways to help, there's multiple donations. I mean, there's GoFundMes, there's all sorts of stuff. Just Google, help Uvalde and you'll find some things. And so if you are willing, if you have extra money to donate and all that, I'd recommend it because, you know, this is just an awful thing and something we need to move past together and get better together with.
Absolutely, man. So, great top off there, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to do it here for this episode. We're going to end it off like we always do with some plugs. You can follow both me and Tristan on Twitter. Tristan is at Tristy Mick. I am at L_S_Rodriguez. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Talking Tech Pod. Follow our Songs of the Week playlist. They are on Spotify and Apple Music. If you could like, if you could rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. We're on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, whatever other, Google, Stitcher. We're on everything. So if y'all could do that, we'd really do appreciate it. Send us a review. I mean, we really love reading the reviews from people and seeing how we can improve, seeing what we're doing right. So we do appreciate all y'all listening, and always Wreck 'em Tech.
Wreck 'em Tech.
Wow. First of all, got a lot of respect for
Stephen and Tristan.
Their program, tough guys, just a lot of fun.
I love the game of basketball, but also love West Texas. And I love
Stephen and Tristan.
So I'm extremely proud. Well, I don't know where we go from here. I'm thinking I'm just going to sit back down. It's just not getting better than this.
I would like to thank
Stephen and Tristan.
This is incredible. These guys have a passion and a love for this school.
Red!